is to have our two brethren with us tonight. One of ourselves, our brother, Mr. David Gilliland, and also our brother from Nova Scotia, Mr. Bill Bingham. Now, our brother David, being the younger man, is going to speak to us first.
Shall we read first of all from the Acts of the Apostles in chapter 4? The Acts of the Apostles in chapter 4. And we commence at verse number 5. Acts chapter 4 and verse 5. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. Verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, verse number 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Now into the previous book, the Gospel according to John, and chapter 3. John's Gospel, and chapter 3. Verse number 17, I want particularly, but perhaps we read verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And a final familiar text from the same Gospel and chapter 10. John's Gospel and chapter 10. Verse number 9. John chapter 10 and verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. That's all I want to read from the scripture. What I want to try and speak about tonight at the commencement of the gospel meeting is to draw your attention to three very simple and yet important gospel statements that we find in these three familiar passages of Holy Scripture. First of all, I want to think of the expression in Acts chapter 4, we must be saved. Then I want to think a little about the expression from John chapter 3, the world might be saved. And our final consideration will be from John chapter 9, John chapter 10, a special person concerning whom the Lord Jesus says, he shall be saved. That is, there will be three main considerations before our minds. First of all, an absolute necessity. We must be saved. Then secondly, a glorious possibility. The world might be saved. And thirdly, a guaranteed certainty. Jesus the Lord says, he shall be saved. Now if we were to read the fourth chapter of the Acts, the chapter that we are speaking from first. One of the words that describes the preaching of the early apostles, it occurs, I think, three times in that chapter. We're told about them that they preached with boldness. I'm not so sure that they preached with eloquence. There maybe was a little bit of that. I'm not so sure that they preached with maybe particular learning. But the Bible does emphasize three times over in this one chapter that they preached with boldness. Now, the word boldness in the Bible might just be a little bit different to what we think of it as in our ordinary language nowadays. If we speak about someone being bold, we think that they're out of place, that they're brash, that they maybe are a little bit cheeky and a little bit immodest or something like that. All those ideas come into our modern English use of the word bold. But in the Bible, it very much means outspokenness. When these men said something, everybody knew exactly what they meant. It was just as clear as crystal. And they didn't just give good advice, and they didn't just make nice suggestions that people could take on board for consideration, and well, if they were nice, they could keep them, and if they weren't nice, they could just leave them. No, no different. They made statements that were bold. Absolutely emphatic and clear. And one of them was this. Peter said to his audience, he said, gentlemen, we must be saved. It was a very important audience to whom he was speaking. We are told there were two high priests there. Those were the men who were the very top, in the top position in Israel. And there were quite a number of the members of the important families in Jerusalem were there, and they were gathered in a very important chamber. And Peter was put right down in the middle. And you say, well now, a fisherman, he'd have to behave himself. Imagine a fisherman. Just a fisherman like Peter, talking to important people like that, and just in the middle of this gathering, it wasn't as large as this one, just a fisherman speaking to those very important people. And he looked them all straight in the face. And he said, look, man, you're very different from me. I'm a fisherman. You are professional men. But he said, there is one thing that joined us all together. You men in the bench, and the poor fisherman in the middle, he said, all of us, we must be saved. What I want to do now is just take Peter's message and bring it right into Lurgan Gospel Hall. It's still true, dear friend. I want you to just every one of us here tonight, just at the threshold of our meeting, to grasp the seriousness of what the Bible says. I hope everyone in this hall will remember that if ever I'm going to be in heaven, according to the Bible, there's an experience that I must have. There's no way around it. I can't avoid it. There's absolutely no substitute for it. I might be good living. I might be religious. I might be respectable. I think that's the kind of people we have tonight in the hall. Good, respectable people. And dear friend, it's a great thing to be respectable. But remember, we have to be frank with you tonight as friends. If ever you're going to be in heaven, you need more than respectability. You need to be saved. We must be saved. Now that starts here, for the poor man on the platform. We must be saved. And it goes right round this semicircle that's just in front of the platform, and it touches the handful of people up here in the balcony. All of us are just included in this statement. There's no person in the hall tonight so good that he or she doesn't need to be saved. And thank God there's no person here so bad that he can't be saved. Dear friend, we must be saved. That's not just our words. That's something that comes direct from the Bible itself. But of course, we have to try and answer another question. Why must we need to be saved? It's one thing to come and declare that there's a great change that must take place. But would this book give us any idea of why? If we were to read this chapter again, chapter 4 of the Acts of the Apostles, you would find that the word saved is used in it in two senses. I don't want you to get confused, but just listen carefully for a minute. There was a man in chapter 3 of the Acts, and the Bible tells us that he had been born into this world with some deformity in his legs. He was lame from his birth. And when the apostles came along, through the name of the Lord Jesus, he was given power to walk again. Now Peter says concerning that man, he said, that man got saved. Now he was born with a problem. And when he got cleared of that problem, he got saved. Now his problem was physical. He was lame. And they said he got saved. But remember, dear friend, the word saved is also used in this chapter in a spiritual sense. Because we come into the world with a spiritual problem. The very day that I, and the very day that you first drew your breath in the atmosphere of this world, we were just born as guilty sinners before God. And the reason, now you listen, it's not because you're just worse than the rest of us. It's not because you're any different. Here we are tonight as human beings, and we are members of the fallen stock of Adam. And the reason that we must be saved is because we are sinners. And as being sinners, because of our disease, and because of our desperate position, the Bible says there's a change that's needed. And it's a must. Now I want to press that just a little bit closer. All you people who are here tonight, I know there are quite a number at the meeting who are already saved. And we are thankful, dear friend, to be saved, that God ever had mercy upon us. There might be someone here tonight, and this is the first time that ever you have sat in a gospel meeting. It may be that you not understand all that we say. We hope that you will, dear friend. But you may not understand it all, but even this is your first gospel meeting. I would ask you to listen to this one point and learn it well. That there's a change that you need. You must be saved. Then there are quite a number here, and this is not your first meeting. And all that I have said tonight in these first few minutes, you have heard it many times before. And yet, dear friend, you are not saved. You haven't given this matter the attention that it should have been given. And I'm pressing it just tonight that the necessity still stands. Because of what we are as guilty sinners, just our natural state, unclean before God, we must be saved. You say, well, it's a kind of a hopeless message we haven't. I didn't really anticipate coming to hear the like of that. And you say, even I knew what you were going to be at. We have heard all that before. I want to turn just to something a little bit more positive. Isn't it great, dear friend, to know that the same Bible tells us that the world might be saved? Now, there's not only something that you must have, but thank God it's something that you can have in this very meeting. Now, there's not one person. If there's a man or a woman has come tonight off the street of Lurgan into this hall, and you've just heard in these minutes that there's something that I need to be saved, I now want to tell you, dear friend, that you don't need to leave the meeting without it, because you can be saved. You say, what do I need to do to get saved? That's the wrong question. Don't worry about that question for a minute. I want you to think what God has already done that you might be saved. Think of what God has done. I'm right now, of course, that's not really the verse that I want to speak upon, but we can hardly do without it. I'm just right in John 3:16, and that verse tells us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Now remember, dear friend, the first thing that God has done, he has sent into this world his own Son. Not a marvelous thing. Here we are, unworthy creatures, as I said already, the fallen sons of Adam. But remember, God had one perfect Son, an eternal Son. And there came a day when he appeared into this world. And not only was in the world, but a very special day when he hung upon the cross. Do you know, some of you may not, but on Monday and Tuesday of this week, there was something about, somewhere about 600 people sat in this hall. And for 4 hours of 2 sessions each, they spent the time thinking about those precious chapters that tell us of the death of the Lord Jesus. His crucifixion and all that took place at Calvary. And you say, how is it that people would ever come to spend time thinking about that in a world that's so busy and there's so many things to do? Wouldn't you think people are mad coming for 4 2-hour sessions and just to think about the death of the Lord Jesus upon the cross? You know why we came, dear friend? It means everything to us for eternity. The only hope that we have of ever being in heaven is that upon Calvary's cross there was a Savior suffered for our sins. You know, I haven't been saved because I come to the gospel hall. It's absolutely nothing to do. It's not because of my membership anywhere. My salvation rests on the precious blood of Christ that was shed at Calvary. And because, now you listen to the text, because of what he is, and because of what he has done, the Bible says, the world might be saved. That's everybody out there. And everybody in here, a marvelous statement. Just the world and all its comprehensiveness. Thank God tonight that salvation can be offered to every man. But, you say, well, if the world can get saved, I suppose there are a number of different ways of getting saved. Oh, there are, Stephen, just one way. You know, this text is very important because it just doesn't tell us that the world might be saved, but it tells us the world through him might be saved. Now, would you remember that? You remember, I came to a meeting tonight in Lurgan Gospel Hall, and I heard from the Word of God that I needed to be saved. And I also learned from the Word of God that the whole world could be saved. And I also learned from the same Bible that if a person was going to be saved, it had to be through him. Because the only way back to God, dear friend, is through the Christ who died at Calvary. I know that we are living in a world where they tell us you have to be very considerate to other people's views. One of the great things that they have, the great descriptions they have for our modern world is, I hear them say many a time, that we live in a pluralistic society. You know what that means, don't you? That there are these people believing this, and they might be right, you know. And there are other people have a rather different view, and they might be right, and there are other people over there have a and they should be considered as well. And it's just, well, it's one or the other, and maybe there's a little bit in the middle. You know, dear friend, this salvation's not a pluralistic salvation. It's salvation only one way. There's one Savior. There's one way to heaven. And that's the one way that exists for the whole world. The world. Through him. Might be saved. I'm thankful for that. You know, there are great possibilities associated tonight with the meeting. Well, you say, does that mean that everybody will be saved? No. That's what gives this matter a burden. I mean the matter of gospel preaching. You remember, dear friend, that even though the world might be saved, you could die without it. You could miss it. So we're going to forget about the world now. As far as the provision is concerned, there's enough for all. But I'm going to forget about all that great big number of people that can be saved. And I want to think just in the last few minutes of my remarks about the single person that will be saved. Just thinking about one person. Now there is a man. Or a woman. Or it's just spoken of here in the masculine. And the Lord Jesus says about this person. He says, he shall be saved. Isn't that a beautiful word? We must. The world might. But unfortunately it won't. But he is a man, and the Lord Jesus says about him, there's no might, and it's not just a must. He shall. Who is it? Who is this man? And the Lord Jesus is using one of the lovely picture verses that he often used. And he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, just to be very simple, dear friend, if ever you're going to be saved, remember, there's a step that you'll have to take. Now, it's a spiritual step. I mean by that, it's not, you don't have to come to the front. And you don't have to go around into a room in the back. And you don't have to put up your hand in the meeting. You could be saved in the very seat where you're sitting and not a person in the hall but know a thing about it. You could take this step, I mean, without moving a single limb of your body. It's a step of your mind. You know, it's a singular step. Because if ever you're going to be saved, you have to take this step for yourself. The Lord says, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now when you came tonight to the door of the hall, the door was there before ever you arrived, but to come into the hall, you had to step across the threshold. Now all the other people that stepped over and came in and enjoyed the warmth and the light of this hall, that was no good for you if you kept standing out in the car park. You had to take the personal step for yourself. You see, getting saved, dear friend, is a very personal thing. There might be a man in the meeting here who has taken the step, but his wife has never taken this simple step. There might be a child, a son of Christian parents in the meeting. Your parents are already saved, but you're still on the outside. You say, what exactly are you talking about? What kind of a step is it? Well, just to get to the point very simply, dear friend, it's a step of simple confidence in Christ. Will you stop trusting in yourself? And you say, the Bible makes it clear there's a need that I have that's very serious for eternity. The same Bible makes it clear that there was one who died upon the cross that my need might be met. I cannot meet it in myself. And I'll step out upon him and trust him with my soul for eternity. And the Lord said, if any man enter in. You know, it was just about 2 miles from where I'm standing tonight. On the 24th of June 1970 that I stepped in. We hardly ever preach without referring to the text that helped me the night I got saved. I was wondering how I could be saved. And it was a lovely verse of a hymn that helped me out of my darkness and my difficulty. Listen to these precious words, dear friend. Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God the just is satisfied to look on Christ and pardon me. And when that precious truth gripped my soul, God is satisfied, I said, I need hesitate no longer. I can step upon Christ with my full weight. And you say, but did you get saved just as simple as that? Are you sure? Am I sure I'm saved? I don't know if all these people are sure or not, dear friend, but I'm sure. Will you say, it's very presumptuous. You mean to tell me that you'll never be in hell? Yes, dear friend, I'll never be in hell, even though I should have been. I'll never be there. I'm sure of being in God's heaven. My sins are completely forgiven. You say, how are you so sure? Just because the Lord told me. The Savior said, if any man enter in, there's a 60% chance. We'll put it up a wee bit, an 80% chance. No, dear friend, this is 100% guarantee he shall be saved. I wonder will that man be in the meeting tonight? Will you leave this meeting saved? I'm finished. I try to keep it as basic and simple as I can. Would you let me say one other thing? Absolute necessity, we must be saved. Glorious possibility, the world might be saved. A guaranteed certainty, the man that trusts Christ, he shall be saved. But there is a people in the Bible, and I've written in my mind over against them an unspeakable tragedy, because everything's over, and the day of opportunity's gone, and the only thing that they can cry, we are not saved. You know, there could be some in this meeting will finish up with that cry. The world could have been saved, and others were saved. But when all is said and done, I missed it. Dear friend, it's serious. And I hope there'll be someone staying, even tonight, this Wednesday night, in Lurgan Gospel Hall.